Turn to book with me, would you, in the book of Acts chapter 1. Father, I thank you so much. What a privilege it is to be here today. God, I thank you for your people that are so awesome and generous. When a cry goes out to help someone that they don't even know in another country, in Puerto Rico, we can come together and fill a barrel with stuff that will hopefully will be a blessing to people. That our prayers can go out for those that are hurting, God, that we don't even know. Our bulletin is full of those people in need and a prayer of different kinds that we can pray for each other. We can open our hearts, God, and see the hurt that people are going through and weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who have answered prayer and rejoice where God is restoring marriages, moving mountains. We're thanking you, God, for what you're doing. We thank you now for your word that will enlighten us today, will draw us closer to you, God, and challenge us. And that's really what it is today. It's a challenge to the body of Christ to be what we're supposed to be, to understand what Jesus' words were, especially his last words before he ascended into heaven, how important they are to the church. We need to be about the Father's business. So help us to understand this today, I pray, in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Amen. Have you ever thought about how many times you got to do something or you enjoy something or you were a part of something that you would have never otherwise gotten to enjoy unless someone had told you about it? You know what I mean? I mean, like, maybe there's some of you who are enjoying a job that you have right now because someone either told you about the job opportunity or told someone that about that there was an opening and they recommended you for a job or whatever, and you're enjoying that position right now. Or maybe someone here is feels like their health, they're alive today because someone told you about a doctor to go to or hospital to go to or a treatment, a certain medical procedure that otherwise you would have never known about unless someone told you about it. Or maybe someone here today that made some wise investments because And maybe it brought a great return for your money because someone at the right time told you about a financial opportunity that otherwise you would have never known unless someone told you about it. And if you stop and think about it, it's going to amaze you how many places you get to in life just because someone chose to share a story with you. And when you read the Bible, it doesn't take long to figure out. How many know that God loves stories? He does. And he loves to tell stories. And he's the master storyteller. The Bible begins with the story of creation. And in fact, in the beginning, you can go from the first book of the Bible. I understand you can read the next 18 books of the Bible, and all it is one continual story that God is telling us. In the Old Testament. And when you read the Gospels in the New Testament, it doesn't take you long to realize that the primary method that Jesus used to teach was to tell stories. Didn't he tell stories? That's how he taught. He constantly spoke in what we call parables, right? And a parable, simply put, is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And that's how Jesus taught. In churches, most churches have what they call a mission statement, and in that mission statement, it has elements that include worship, discipleship, service, and missions. Our mission statement says almost the same thing. And to be honest with you, the further you go down the list and the line of the mission statements, actually, the fewer people participate. When it comes to worship, the vast majority of people who attend church say that they love God and they really set apart their loving God and they do it by coming to church and worshiping God. And that's what they do. That's their love for God, coming to church, worshiping God. But when you ask those same people who come to church to serve others, and particularly to have a ministry in the church and for the church, then that participation dramatically decreases. And when you ask those people, those same people, to get involved in sharing their faith with others, then the participation drops. It dropped pretty fast. It dropped faster than the approval rating of the president or Congress. All right? We're in a series. We're into our fifth week. We're in a series. We're calling it The Real Story. And we've shared with you that every person on this planet has a worldview. Everybody sees the world through a certain type of lens. And there are certain things that if you are a true follower of Christ and see things, see this world the way God sees it and believe it, then you'll live by those things. And I've already shared four of them with you. I put them in your notes today. The first one is that we talked about Christ lived a sinless life. Remember? That was the first lesson. Christ lived a sinless life. He who knew no sin became sin. And then we talked about God as the creator and controller of the universe. And he's in control now. Amen? And then we talked about salvation as a gift from God's grace that is received by our faith. You cannot earn it. Remember, we talked about that in detail. And then last time we talked about Satan is real. He's real. Live and well on planet Earth, Hal Lindsey said. And the vast majority of people that walk into this church on Sunday, or any church for that matter, would have no problem checking off every one of those things that we just mentioned. Those four things. But when you get down to the fifth, we'll call it like a pillar of a biblical worldview, then the check marks are few and far between. And that pillar is this. And I wrote it in your notes for you. It should be on the board. What a Christ follower has. A Christ follower has the responsibility to share his or her faith in Christ with other people. That's the next pillar. A Christ follower has a responsibility to share his or her faith in Christ with other people. Most church followers don't even check that box. They just check out when they see that box. In fact, there was a question that was recently asked in a survey of 1,000 church attendees. And here was the question. Why does the church exist? Why does the church exist? 89% said this. The purpose of the church is to take care of my spiritual needs and those of my family. And obviously that is important. It's very important. And we do serve to meet needs, both spiritually and otherwise. Okay? But the eye-opener is that only 11% said the purpose of the church was to share Jesus Christ with others so that they might know him. Now there's no doubt in my mind that that would not only break the heart of Jesus, but it would shock him because, we just said, the last words that Jesus spoke to the church before he ascended into heaven. You think those words would be important? Yes, they would be very important. I want to read them to you from the book of Acts, chapter 1. I'm going to start reading at verse 4. Look what it says. And being assembled together with them, talking about Jesus, assembled with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or season which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We're going to focus on that one verse today for a while. But you will receive power, verse 8, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And I realize that many, when you hear that, there's all automatically a built-in excuse that you have. And believe me, I probably heard them all. People say, well, that's just not my gift. Or I don't know how to. Or I'm too shy. I'm too afraid. Or that's not my job. That's the pastor's job and the staff. Well, what I want you to do is I want you to take every excuse that you can think of why you cannot or should not or will not share your story with others. And if you will simply be open, I want you to be open today to receive what Jesus said. That's all I want you to do. Receive what Jesus said. If you do that, I guarantee you, you are going to enter into one of the most fulfilling, one of the most joyful, one of the most beneficial parts of being a follower of Jesus Christ. So open your heart and let's see what Jesus is saying. The first thing he says is this: God has given me a responsibility. Number one, he has given me a responsibility to share my story. I want you to keep something in mind about our mission, the mission statement. It's not coincidental that we talk about loving God, serving others, sharing our story, because serving others and sharing our story flows out of a heart of love for God. The reason why you should serve others is because you love God. The reason why you ought to want to share your story is because you love God. Amen? When you love God, then you will understand that God wants you to have both a ministry in the church, but he also wants you to have a mission in the world. Okay? We want to bring people who do not know Christ to come to know Christ, who will then grow and to love Christ, and out of that love for Christ, will want to serve Christ and share Christ. Amen? Listen to these words again. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Who's the you in that verse? Three times. Who's the you that he was talking about? He's talking about you, right? He didn't qualify that pronoun. He didn't say, you pastors, you ministers, you ordained people, you staff people, you spiritual people, or you religious people. No, he said you. You, every one of you. Remember who Jesus was talking to when he made this statement? You know who he was talking to? He was talking to tax collectors. He was talking to fishermen. He was talking to shepherds. He was talking to farmers. He was talking to homemakers, talking to businessmen, talking to professionals, talking to politicians. That's who he was talking to. Talking to both men and women, young and old. In other words, he was talking to people just like you, just like me. That's who he was talking to. There was a survey that was done recently from the Institute of American Church Growth that showed somewhere between, listen to this, somewhere between 75 and 90% of new believers in Christ come to Christ through a friend or an acquaintance who shares their story on a one-to-one basis. 75 to 90% of people that come to Christ come because you shared your story with someone. And guess what? God does not have a plan B to reach this world. Pastor Tony and I were talking about this the other day. He doesn't have a plan B to reach this world except for you and me, all of us together, to be his witnesses. Be a witness unto me. Unto me. You're going to tell people about me. That's what you're going to do. The truth is, either we will be his witness or there will be no witness. Okay? I heard it put this way: Christ alone can save the world, but Christ will not save the world alone. That's the truth. That's a true statement. He wants us to be his witness. He simply wants us to be about the business of sharing our story. And no matter where you look in the Bible, anywhere you look in the Bible, everywhere, when you find a commandment in the Bible to share the gospel, to share your story or to evangelize, whatever, the command is always directed to everyone. Not just to one individual, but it's directed to everyone. Look what Peter said in Acts chapter 2, verse 32. He says this in Acts 2:32: God has raised this Jesus to life, and we all witnesses. We are all witnesses of that fact. Amen? Amen? Whether or not you choose to fulfill that responsibility, I'm just telling you, no one gets a free pass. Everyone has a responsibility to share their story. And I do realize that it doesn't bring a lot of comfort, maybe to a lot of people in here this morning, because you're out of your comfort zone. It's not in your comfort zone to share your story. Well, if you just continue to listen for a little while longer with me, it gets better. Okay? When someone gives you responsibility to do something, they have to give you something else, or you're off the hook. That is, you must have the authority to fulfill the responsibility. And that's the second thing we want to talk about. God has granted me the authority to share my story. He's granted me the authority to share my story. Again, listen to what Jesus is commanding us to do. You shall be my witnesses. Think about that word witness for a minute. I know the Greek word for witness is martyr. I know that. And I know what martyr means. And that doesn't only mean to put your life on the line to kill yourself or get killed for the gospel. It means to be sold out, totally sold out. But what I want you to look at this word witness, it comes from an old English word that we really don't use too much anymore. And the word is wit, W-I-T, wit, to wit. Means to know. It means to know. A wit is a knowledgeable person. Not a dimwit, but a witty person. That's where the term comes from. It's a wit. So to witness is someone who knows something and simply testifies to what he knows. That's what the word witness comes from the Old English. Okay? Jesus said this in John chapter 3, verse 11. He said, most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. In Acts chapter 22, verse 15, it says, you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. You're just telling what you've seen and what you heard. See, a witness is someone who simply tells what they have heard, what they have seen, and what they know. Okay? But some people, when they think of the word witness, they think it means something like you're going to be some kind of a salesman, or you're going to be a salesperson. That's not what witness is at all. All right? God does not call any of us to be his prosecuting attorneys or his defense counsel or even a judge. But all he's called us to be is simply to be a witness. A witness. And a witness is somebody who simply shares their story. Listen, if you are a follower of Christ, you have a story to tell in your own way, in your own personality, with your own style. As God opens doors, you have the authority to share that story. Amen? He'll do it. However, I do realize you can have the responsibility of doing something, even the authority of doing something, but I know that both of these things are useless if you don't have the ability to do something. Amen? That's where God's secret weapon comes into play. Here we go. You ready? All right. Number three, God has guaranteed me the ability to share my story. Guaranteed me the ability to share my story. By the way, you know what responsibility really is? Responsibility. Responsibility is just our response to his ability. How's that for a definition? I don't go deep. Our response to his ability. Responsibility, okay? Go back to the first part of that verse. Look what it says again. But you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. God doesn't expect you to share your story in your strength. He wants you to do it in his strength. God does not expect you to share your story in your power, but in his power. Okay? Every follower of Christ through the Holy Spirit has the power to share their story effectively. You have the power. The Holy Spirit's power. God is so determined that people hear the story of Jesus Christ, and he's so determined that you be a part of sharing that story, that he's given to us the person, the presence, and the power of the Holy Spirit of God to enable you to do it effectively. He's guaranteed me the ability to share. See, sharing your story is a team effort. It's a team effort. We have a teammate in sharing our story. And that teammate is the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Listen to what Acts chapter 5, verse 32 said this. Listen to this. This is so cool. We are witnesses of these things. And what's the next line? And so is the Holy Spirit. How about that, huh? We're witnesses of these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. See, sharing your story is so important to God, so much a part of the passion of his heart, that he doesn't want us to try to do this alone, and he won't let us do this alone. Okay? Sharing your story is not dependent upon your personality or your persuasiveness or even your position. It's dependent upon the power of God. And if you are a follower of Christ, you have the potential to have that power within you. Can you say amen? If you are a follower of Christ, you have the potential to have that power within you. Now, if what I have just told you is true, then you have to believe this, that God can use you in his way with your personality and with your giftedness to share your story, to move people to faith in Jesus Christ. If what we just said, if what we just talked about is true, then you need to know that God can use you with your personality, your giftedness, to share your story and move people to faith in Jesus Christ. Go back to those disciples. Go back to the ones he's talking to. It wasn't just a few chapters before that, right? These disciples were all cowards. They were wimps. They ran like scalded dogs and left Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane just hanging out to dry. They hung him out to dry. And even Peter was so afraid of his life that he denied the Lord three times. And then you look at the book of Acts. And there they are, standing on the corners. They're going from house to house. Everybody's sharing their story from house to house, telling everybody that would listen. Right? Just a few chapters later. What happened? It wasn't they didn't change their environment. You know, they didn't all of a sudden graduate from seminary. You know, they didn't take a class on positive thinking. The major difference was the power of the Holy Spirit working in their lives. That was the major difference. Were they saved? Yes. When Jesus breathed on them. But he said, you're going to wait now in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father, and you're going to be endued with power from on high. And this is what he's talking about. All of a sudden, there's a difference in their life. The power of the Holy Spirit is in their life. Do you want to know how you activate that power in your life? How do you activate the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? You know how? By being obedient. By surrendering, by yielding yourself to the power and the infilling of the Holy Spirit of God. I came across an interesting statement. I had to write it down. I want to share this with you. Someone said this, and it's so cool. It says, when it comes to sharing your story, if you will take the first step, the Holy Spirit will take the second step. And then the third step is realizing it was really the Holy Spirit who took the first step to begin with. I love it. That's the truth, though. It is the truth. The Holy Spirit, someone says, Holy Spirit's like the American Express. Don't leave home without him. Amen? Amen? You can share your story effectively because you have the ability to do so. And finally, God will guide me to the opportunity to tell my story. All right, listen. You can have the responsibility. You can have the authority. You can have the ability. But you'll never be able to carry out the responsibility without an opportunity. Right? All of it means nothing if you don't have an opportunity to share. God has already promised he will guide us to opportunities. Ask me, where did he say that? Holy mackerel. Ask me, where did he say that? Thank you for asking. He said it in Acts chapter 1, verse 8 again. Listen to what he said again. And you will be my witnesses. I will? Where? In Jerusalem. Get out. Really? Yes. Where else? And in all Judea. No kidding. Where else? And to the ends of the earth. Shut up. Really? To the ends of the earth? Yes. You will. Where does God give us the opportunities? First, he says the opportunities are locally. Locally, he says you will be witnesses to me in Jerusalem. Where was Jesus standing when he told them this? He was standing in Jerusalem. He was saying, just in your everyday life, as God has brought and will bring people across your path who are open to hearing your story. Think about it. Why do you think you live in the neighborhood you live in? Why do you think you work where you work or you do business with the people you do business with locally? All kinds of opportunities to be sharing your story if we'll just start building relationships and building bridges with unchurched people and getting to the point where you can share your story. Start building bridges and building relationships with unchurched people so that God will open up a door that you can share your story. And then God will give you opportunities like, we'll say nationally. Go, he says, into Judea and Samaria. And there's great opportunities, even through our church, to go and share your story locally, various places, even in our country, around our city. You can go to City Mission. You can go to Cornerstone Manor. You can go to different places, Niagara Falls Mission, and share your story or whatever. All over our country, mission trips, short-term mission trips in our own country. You don't have to go overseas, but he will guide you into opportunities even internationally. He says, to the ends of the earth. To the ends of the earth. And again, we even have opportunities here from our church that you can go through Operation Serve. And you can share your testimony. You can share your story in places like Haiti and Mexico, whatever. I had the opportunity to go to Russia and share my story. God opens doors. So what does it all boil down to? The thing that really fascinated me about learning about this is how does it all end? What does it all mean? And Paul the Apostle brings it together in the book of Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Listen to what he says in 20:24. He says this, the most important thing is that I complete my mission. That's the most important thing. The work that the Lord Jesus gave me. What is it, Paul? To tell the people the good news about God's grace. That's the most important thing. That I complete the mission. To tell people the good news about God's grace. What we've been talking about. That's the most important thing that any of us could possibly do. Most of us here today are Christ, are followers of Christ, and you're going to heaven because somebody shared their story with you. I know I am. I know a guy took the time in the foundry at Generous Motors to tell me his story and open my heart to Jesus Christ. And I know many of you are here the same. Now, because we love God and we want to serve others in the greatest way that we can, let us learn to use this secret weapon and ask the Holy Spirit to fill us, to fill us, to fill us, to share our story with others. Amen? Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back, and as they're coming, I just want to say something to you. We have altar calls for salvation. Those come forward, raise their hand, we pray. But today I want to ask you something different. I want you to try to forget about who's sitting next to you. And I really want you to ask the Holy Spirit to fill you today. You know that it's that easy? It's a matter of you have not because you ask not. And I know that you have been born again. I know that. But Jesus said, John said, I indeed baptize you with water, but one is coming greater than I, not even worthy to tie his shoes. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. We have all kinds of, the scriptures talk about all kinds of baptism. Pastor Tony has an incredible message about baptism. He's going to be teaching it, I understand, on Tuesday. And there's many baptisms in scripture. I think of about seven of them, whatever it is. But we focus on three baptisms. The baptism in First Corinthians, I think it is we are all baptized by one Spirit into the body of Christ. The baptism into the body of Christ, the most important baptism there is. You become born again. Who's the agent doing the baptizing? It's the Holy Spirit. By one Spirit, we are baptized into one body. The Spirit of God, the agent that draws you. And then we have the baptism in water, submersion in water, as Jesus does. Who is the agent doing that baptism? It's the minister, it's the pastor, whoever is the agent baptizing you into the death, burial, and resurrection, simplifying the death and burial of Jesus Christ. And then there's the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And who's the agent doing the baptizing with the baptism with the Holy Spirit? It's Jesus. John says, he will baptize you. So there's a subsequent baptism more than just the baptism into the body of Christ, I believe. I believe you have the Holy Spirit when you're born again. Everyone does. For by one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. But my question is, does the Holy Spirit have you? Can you operate in the power of the Holy Spirit that we just talked about? Do you have the power to? Jesus told him to wait. Guess what? You don't have to wait anymore. The Holy Spirit did come on Pentecost. We don't have to wait anymore. All we have to do is ask for it. Well, that's what I'm going to ask you to do right now. I'm serious. I'm serious. Before we even sing our closing song, I didn't know if I was going to do this or not. I'm just going to ask you to close your eyes. Really. And just say, Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit right now. I know you can do it. And the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you just like it did the 120 in the upper room. And God will begin to fill your heart and you'll begin to worship God in a language that you don't even know. They worship with tongues. He said that you don't even have, you don't have knowledge of. We don't even know how to pray sometimes, but the Spirit prays through us, even with groanings. And when we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, he comes into our life and he begins to speak through us the glories of God, and we begin to worship him in the Spirit. He can do that for you right now. There's no waiting that you have to do. You want to be a witness for Jesus Christ? Then let him fill you with the secret weapon of the Holy Spirit so that you can be able to tell your story. People are starting to speak in tongues right now. I can even hear it in the Spirit. You can do that right now. You don't have to look around at anybody. You don't have to wait until somebody lays hands on you. Yes, we can lay hands on you and you can receive. But you can receive it right now in Jesus' name. And I want this church to be Spirit-filled so that you won't be afraid to share your story. Because there's a lost and dying world all around you, where you live, where you work, where you go to school. And God is calling you to be a witness. We are living in the last days. You are going to heaven. The question is, how many people are you going to take with you? By the power of God resting in your heart this morning, you can receive that power if you just surrender. Just yield yourself to the infilling of God's Holy Spirit, and he will fill you. My prayer is that everyone that leaves this church, you get in your car, you got to pull over, because the power of God will come upon you. You begin to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gives you the utterance. In Jesus' name, receive that infilling of God's Spirit today. Can you say amen? God's serious about his word. You need to read that first chapter of Acts over and over and over. And allow it to be a part of your life. God loves you. So do I. And I want you to have that power. Amen? Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, this is all about you right now. The Spirit of God wants to come into every single heart that's in this room right now to bring healing, to bring deliverance, to fill you, God, with fill you with His presence so that you will be His witnesses. Father, we thank you that we can receive that by faith, the same way we received our salvation, by faith. And the power of God will come upon us today. And we will be your witnesses. So have your way, God, right now. And even as we close this service, it doesn't put an end on what you're doing in our lives because you've touched us today. In a different way. And I pray, Father, my prayer is that your power will begin to manifest Himself in our lives in a greater way, greater than we can even imagine. We will share our story. Thank you, Father, for your word today. I pray, God, now as we get ready to close this service with a worship, sing our praises to you, give of our tithes and our offerings. We thank you, God, for your people who are so obedient, so generous, obedient to your word and their giving. We can continue to do what you've called us to do. So I ask you to bless, God. Bless a hundredfold, as your word says, as your people give and sow their seed into the work that you've called us to do. We receive this offering. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. We're going to worship him with a song. What is it?